So welcome. Happy Easter. And thank you. And so in unity, Easter is just as significant as in traditional Christianity. The difference, though, is that in traditional Christianity, it's all about Good Friday. Good Friday is where Jesus was crucified for our sins. He took them all so we didn't have to worry about them. Does that sound familiar to most people here? I see a lot of heads shaking. And in unity, Good Friday is very important, and we're going to move through that since we don't have a Good Friday service. But it's this day in unity that is the best thing in life, because it is about not just Jesus' resurrection, but it's all about our own resurrection. It's about our own rising from the depths of error thinking, from the depths of the darkness. It is our own evolution that we are talking about. And so today, it's going to be a little bit different. Usually I stick right with Easter, but I love Jesus and the Jesus story and how the Jesus story speaks right to each and every one of us. And as I was writing this talk and pulling it together, I kept hearing, "And still I rise." And still I rise. So, of course, I hear from the yep, I think that if Jesus lived during this day, he would proclaim that this poem was for him, this Maya Angelou poem, "Still I Rise." I'd like to read a little bit of it, not all of it, just the ones that I think, because it gets a little sassy in some places. And I think Jesus would take on that as well, but, you know, we're in church on a Sunday. Okay. Truth, Reverend Roger, truth. So it goes, "You may write me down in history with your bitter, twisted lies. You may tread me in the very dirt, but still, like dust, I rise. Just like moons and like suns with the certainty of tides, just like hopes springing high, still I rise. Did you want to see me broken? Bowed head, lowered eyes, shoulders falling down like teardrops, weakened by my soulful cries? You may shoot me with your words. You may cut me with your eyes. You may kill me with your hatefulness. But still, like air, I rise. I rise, I rise, I rise." And that's what it's all about in unity. No matter what the situation is that we're going through, know that you can get up and rise. It's really up to each and every one of us, according to our consciousness. But let's go back to where we left off Thursday at our foot washing. And if you weren't there, foot washing was a Passover celebration. Jesus washed everyone's feet. It was an act of service. And directly after this beautiful Last Supper, the celebration of their freedom, Jesus asks Peter, James, and John to go with him into the Garden of Gethsemane, because he realizes that one of his friends, one of his disciples, is going to betray him. And I go back here because it's so human. It's so human of him. He knows he's about to die. The intuition's there. The calling has been there. But he is scared to death. And he needs to go someplace where he can pray. I'm going to read you this passage. I tried to give my own little, but I think this passage is poignant from the Bible. He went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter, James, and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little further, Jesus threw himself on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want. He came back and found them, being Peter, John, and James, sleeping. And he said to Peter, Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into this time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many parents said that to, or have you heard that from your parents or from someone? And you wondered where it came from. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. I'd like to stop there for a moment because when I talk about talking metaphysically, I'm talking about the way Charles Fillmore, the co-founder of Unity, interpreted the Bible metaphysically. And I would like for you to know several things. Gethsemane is symbolized as this struggle that takes place within the consciousness when truth, that being the truth of God, the truth of spirit, is placed within, and it realizes its own reality. When truth, when your spirit, when your consciousness, with all the ideas of your minds and your feelings, realizes its error, and that truth wants to come in. There's this battle, there's this struggle, which Gethsemane represents. And while you're going through this battle of your will, God's will versus your will, you bring forth your faith, which is Peter. You bring forth love, which is James, symbolized by James, and you bring for discernment. And I think if I were going to a place to pray, those would be the things I would bring. I'd be praying to God in faith. I'd try to open my heart up to love. I would discern God's will of good. And knowing that, think about these also not just as separate people, but just like us. These are entities within Jesus. These are his faculties, like we are saying that they are our faculties. So what I'm saying is that picture Jesus. He goes to Gethsemane. He's struggling. And his faith, the love in his heart, and his discernment from God go to sleep. Just like if we were going through a struggle, we knew we were walking to our death. Could we hold our heads up and say, I'm strong? Could we be those Tibetan monks who put their gasoline on and struck themselves to symbolize something? Could we be that? Or would we be more like Jesus where we are scared? And it talks about once Jesus goes a little bit further, he leaves them. He goes a little bit further and he pictures this. He throws himself, according to the Bible, on the ground and pleads to God, take this from me. Here is a man who we get in our pictures, in our stories, that he's so spiritual that he's no good. What is that term? You're so spiritual, you're no good for the world? Jesus is so worldly. That's why the Fillmores loved him, because according to the Bible, we could all identify with him. Who here cannot identify with that possible struggle? Who here hasn't gone through some form of problem that seemed like it's life or death? Whether it's ailment, whether it's monies, whether it's a relationship, a loss of a relationship. How many times have your heart been broken and you thought you were going to die from heartache? And that you've cried to Jesus or you've cried to God, why me? Take this from me. Take this pain away from me. But Jesus remembers himself and then says, you know, not my will. What is, I will do what you want me to do. And the Bible goes back to that. He goes back. He goes back, prays a little bit more, comes back, and they're asleep still. Then Jesus goes back for a third time, and he just prays, and he releases and lets it go. And as soon as he comes back for the third time, Judas, his beloved that betrays him. Judas represents life, metaphysically. So what comes to him with an army ready to arrest him with swords and mean and ugly and grabbing him with a kiss of betrayal? Life comes at him and throws him over to be arrested. It's interesting that he originally is taken by the higher priest of the religion, and they tried several times. They tried one thing. They tried to arrest him for heresy. And as he was in the trial of the elders and the priest, no one would say anything against him. So that failed, because they've been plotting to kill him for a long time now. How many times have someone said something about you? They did such and such. Who could tell? Who else saw? No? So it didn't work. And so, perturbed and mad, they now take him to Pilate. They throw him at Pilate and say, you know what? He has committed some form of treason. We don't know what kind of treason, but we know that you can find that he's committed some form of treason, and you must kill him. It's interesting that the history of Pilate says that he is a cutthroat sort of guy. He's not very polite. Actually, he has this bloodthirst. He has no problem killing. But with Jesus, there's an issue. Some way, somehow, the Spirit of God has touched upon this man that he doesn't want anything to do with it. They go back and forth. Pilate gives him back to the high priest. The high priest says, I don't want him. He gives him back to Pilate. Pilate says, I don't want him. And at some point in time, Pilate, in front of everyone, after going through trials and trying to speak to Jesus, and Jesus is silent. Jesus now representing the Spirit of God, who doesn't need to prove itself. Because the proof will come in the resurrection, when Jesus has to lay his body, lay everything down. And Jesus is mute. And even Pilate says, will you not speak on your behalf? And at some point in time, Pilate takes water, pours it in his hand. He says, I wash my hands of this. And gives him to the people, give Jesus to the people. These same people who a week ago was like, Hosanna, Hosanna, you're the man. You are the best. We love you. Now turn against him. And it's the people who said, kill him. Take this all in mind now. So all the characters in the Bible, including if we look at Jesus as the man, all these represent him. And that's when these puzzle pieces can fit your life. As he is going through the trials and tribulations, there is a battle between Pilate, which is your sense consciousness, and a battle with the aspect of you which only lives for the truth, the spiritual truth by law, not the spiritual truth from God that tells you and moves you with that wisdom, but with that spoken word, that law of the Bible that you must do this on a Sabbath, you must do that. And it gets him tied up. And the people said he must die. And so we can accept for our sins here in Unity, Jesus died on the cross. Because when we talk about it here in Unity, Jesus dying on the cross, we're talking about the man. As spiritual as he is, as loving as he is, we're still talking about the man God on the cross to release and let go of all of the human consciousness, all of that erroneous thinking, all of that sense consciousness that we saw through this whole story of Jesus. Jesus was the one who had some anger management issues just before Passover, two times at the temple, kicking over tables, throwing money around. One of the reasons why he had to be killed. Jesus throwing himself on the ground. He was a man. And yet, he was able to cross all these things out. Symbolically, that's what we're talking about. Not the crucifixion. We'll hold on to the crucifixion because mentally, metaphysically, metaphorically, it means that we all need to cross out those thoughts that keep us down. We need to cross out those aspects of us that are dark. We need to cross out those things that we cannot control. We need to cross out those things that we deem and beloved humanness. And know that within our humanness, we are spirit. And the truth of our humanness is that we are here to evolve, to rise, to be the Christ. The title, Jesus isn't the only one to rise to be the Christ, to evolve to be the Christ. Jesus is the example. And we get this example because at the very end of all this, once he rises, he moves from the temple, he tells his disciples, who then become the apostles. Difference of disciples and apostles? Apostles are the ones who go out and do it because he cannot. We are all here to be the apostles of the word, to take the words of truth, to take the examples and bring heaven here on earth. But back to the story. So, he was crucified. The crucifixion is not of the physical body, it is of our consciousness. That space and place and consciousness, I feel like the teacher comes back at me, I really want to ask one of the students here what consciousness means, but I will not do that. One of the students from the metaphysics class, but I won't do that, especially since Fred is looking around like, don't look at me. In unity, consciousness is the total sum of all of our ideas, our feelings, but mostly all of our ideas that have been accumulated from our life, from our past, and what our current moment, and all these ideas are what make up our world right here, right now. All right, you got that? So all of our thoughts and all of our feelings that have come up and arise at anything, when anything happens, that is what we create from our those thoughts and ideas. So this is a matter of crossing out the human aspect of us where we want to go to our ego, where we want to go to our hurt, where we want to go to the darkness, even though we know about it. We crossing those out and allowing us to be governed by spirit, allowing us to rise up. And so Jesus then moves forward. And the spiritual rising that we are talking about is the rising of the I am. For the I am is that spiritual truth. Now, a lot of times we use I and small case a for am. We're talking about I, higher case am, because we go there because I am is the name of God. That is the only place in the Bible where God mentions its name. And it's during Moses in the burning bush. Moses was trying to get out of trying to do his spiritual work. Jesus was lovingly prompting him to go take your people and to get them to safety. And finally Moses said, well, who do I tell my people told me to do this? And the bush, the spirit within the bush, God said, translated, I am that I am which I am. So anytime we out here use I am for anything other than the truth about who God is or what God is, then we are blaspheming. Anytime we use the I am in a negative way, we've all done it. Man, that was a stupid move. I am so dumb. Cancel, cancel. Oh, in the mirror. Oh, I'm looking so ugly today. Cancel plenty. Thank you, John, for canceling with me. Because the truth of you is that you are love. You are joy. You are peace. Every element of God is within you. And is that which we are allowing to be, or to take fruit within us as we make room for the world to go away. The resurrection is the truth of our being. And so we rise. And so we cry a little bit too. And you know, actually we do. We go to that point in our lives where it's hard. It's hard to make those changes. It's hard to die. And the way Jesus died, at least the way it was depicted, was a cruel death. God help us all if we have to look at the Passion again. But we go through that crucifixion in our own lives. But you know the one thing that I will say that the traditional Christians get, right? We don't have to do it. Jesus gave us the example not to follow that, but to follow the resurrection. Learn from that and rise. And so, as you move forward, I ask you to think of the I am as you release and let go. The first part of the I am that I want you to think about is for the body. That it has no limits. That even though we're talking about releasing and letting go, we're releasing and letting go to that which is infinite. So repeat after me. I am intimate life, infinite life. I am infinite life. I am infinite life. I am infinite life. The other aspect of this resurrection, once the stone has been taken away from the cave, once the negativity has been taken away from the body, once the body has had 3 days to be released and let go of all of its humanness, allowed a void to happen, to allow spirit to come, then it is free. The second affirmation we want to say together is, I am free. I am free. Dearest, that is ultimately what we are here to do. That is why we want to cross out all the erroneous thinking so that we can be free, so that we can be infinite, and that we can be it here in the seeming finite. Those are the lessons that we are here to do. Because the resurrection of Jesus, Charles Fillmore says, takes place in each of us, we rise to the realization of the perpetual indwelling life that connects us with the Father. Okay, again, so he did this 1901, so ladies, I'm sure that he would say with the people or something like that, but with the Father. The grave clothes of mortal sense, which are thoughts of limitation and inevitable obedience to material laws, are left in the tomb of matter. So when we resurrect, when we rise, all of that is moved away. The resurrection of the body has nothing whatsoever to do with death, except that we may resurrect ourselves from every dead condition into which sense ignorance has plunged us. To be resurrected means to get out of the place that you are in and to get into another place. Resurrection is rising into a new vigor, a new prosperity, a restoration to our higher state. That is what we are here to do, beloveds. That is what Easter and unity represents. It's coming to a higher state of consciousness, to be born anew with a new consciousness for new hope, new glory, a new heaven here on earth. And it can be done if we open up our consciousness and say, yes, I choose to rise. I am infinite. I am free. We must rise to the conscious realization that every thought of mind, every atom of body, every molecule of being, every function of nature, and every force is divine. That all of these do and shall vibrate to the harmonies of spirit. This is the resurrection of man. There is no other, Charles Fillmore writes. And so as you move forward, not just in this Easter holiday, Easter is just that symbol where we come back to just to refocus on it. Each and every day, each and every moment of the day, as you move forward to cross out those erroneous thoughts, anything that comes up, pops in your mind and go, ooh, how did I use my I am? I cross it out. And then say, I rise. I rise. Anytime a thought comes up, cross it out. I rise. And you say, and you can add on, I am beautiful. I am joyous. I am love. And if you're really bold, you can say, I am that I am. I am that I am. And so for the week, in your bulletins, there's the week affirmations. Let's say our affirmation together. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rise. Let's breathe that in. We're going to say that two more times. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rise. Breathe that in again. And one more time. The Spirit of God is awakening me to all that I am. I rise. Yes, you do. Amen, beautiful Christ beings.